Dick, I am very disappointed.
Well, sir, I can see why you're upset, but really, let's look at the long picture here. This was...
The long picture is that you just killed Mr. Kenny like 17 times. It's like so many bullets that Ed thing fired into Mr. Kenny.
Quick point of order. Can you tell me what Mr. Kenny's first name is?
No, I don't pay attention to
these
things.
Okay, well, there we go. That's kind of the importance of Mr. Kenny.
Look, Dick, I like you, but I think this project has gotten out of hand. And I think that Bob's proposal for the $2 billion RoboCop seems to be making a lot more sense right about now.
Okay, everybody's really excited about Bob's $2 billion RoboCop. But may I remind you that my robot walked into a boardroom, apprehended a suspect who had a gun. Might remember, Mr. Kinney had a gun.
Oh, you gave him a gun, but yeah.
But he did have that gun.
Oh, sure, he had a gun.
Yeah. And the robot disarmed him with absolute prejudice.
He did not disarm him. He destroyed his life.
Yes.
Shot him a bunch of times in front of everybody.
Was he holding the gun at the end of that altercation?
No, he threw it on the floor before he was shot. He gave up. It was a broken machine that you brought in there.
So you're telling me that my robot was so effective that it got him to drop his weapon before it even had to kill him?
Dick, your robot should have stopped when he dropped the weapon. That would have been a good example of what it can do.
Okay, so 100% scenario, yes, that would have been ideal. But 99% of the way there, still disarmed the guy, still walked into
that
the
1%
room.
That 1% killed him. That ended his life. A man who I don't know, really, but I could have helped the company, maybe. I'm leaning towards this RoboCop.
So let me get this straight. I spend years secretly, without anyone in the company knowing it, developing this...
Ed 209. Yeah.
Comes into the boardroom.
Yeah. Murders a man.
Stops a possibly violent suspect.
Mm-hmm.
With due prejudice.
Whatever.
And you're going to throw all that away for some untested $2 billion... man full of guts and blood inside a machine?
Look, I need to make this decision right now for some reason. So, yes, I'm giving Bob Morton the job. He's going to push forward with the RoboCop project. Dick, I don't want to fire you, okay? Obviously, this was a huge mistake. Your Ed 209 killed a man in front of me, which was very disturbing and very violent. But don't push me on this, okay? We're going RoboCop.
What if... Just to take the devil's advocate, you went no robot police, period. What if we just stuck
with
ridiculous. Regular police?
That's the crime has escalated. You know this. We're in Detroit. We're going robo police, and that's the end of it.
But the only options are my robot, which killed a man in a boardroom, and killing another man to put him inside of a robot.
He was already going to die. It's fine.
Look, old man.
Yes.
And I say that...
The old man is how I'm credited,
right.
Yes.
I say that, you know, with the utmost respect and as the
of
only
course.
Way to address you.
Yes.
The old man.
Yes.
What if we just took a beat on the whole robot thing entirely?
No. I'm making a decision right now. We're going RoboCop and that's it. Good day.
Bad science. Did the movie get it right? Bad science. Or will we have to fight?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Bad Science. I'm your host, Ethan Edinburgh, and today we are talking about 1987's RoboCop with two Robo fans. I don't know. You guys like the movie? Love the movie?
Oh, yeah. Moses here.
I was about to introduce
you. Just letting
you.
People adjust to my voice. My
it's
high-pitched
gonna take
voice.
Much more time than that. Yeah.
Huge fan.
I should say first, then, of course, wonderful comedian, stand-up writer, performers. Moses Storm is here.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for being here, Moses.
I don't know if I'm a RoboCop fan. I feel like I'm like a lot of kids who grew up in the 90s, that it was just a movie that was always on.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no harsh opinions about it. It's just like, oh, if you were to throw your TV out the window, it's in pieces, you plug it back in, RoboCop would be on.
Yes, of course. And we are joined today by CPO Loudon Smedley.
LaDon Smedley.
Oh, my God. I was so close.
It's okay.
LaDon Smedley.
I get that a lot.
Brett, can we do another take?
Let's start this over, Brett. So explain to us first, before we get into the RoboCop of it all, what a CPO is, what that means.
Yes. So a CPO is a certified prosthetist and orthotist, not to be confused with prostitute.
Okay, good.
So we evaluate patients. We cast them. We fit them for various prosthetic and orthotic devices, back braces, knee braces, artificial arms, legs,
great
fingers, all that.
And you've brought some of that with you here today.
Yes, yes.
Thank you for doing so.
Absolutely.
This is way more than anyone else has ever done.
You brought robotics. These are people's working robotics that you've taken from their body.
Yes.
You can't use
just
them
for
today.
Display of this
that.
Podcast.
Yes.
They're hooked up to an iPad, which can make them move.
Yeah, we'll watch The Fugitive next time with the one arm man.
Oh, great. Okay. I love that movie. And so, well, let's get into RoboCop first. When did you guys first see it? Like, you were saying that you thought you had seen it, but maybe not.
I saw it for the first time. Hi, guys. Moses here. What if I introduce myself every
single
time?
Moses here.
We were just listening to an episode of the show, and we couldn't tell you and Paul Scheer's voice apart, which is the first time anyone's ever said that.
Yeah, no one's said that.
He's got a very specific voice. I didn't realize I had not seen it until last night. Mm. I was like, yeah, of course I've seen that movie, but you've only seen chunks on like TNT.
Right.
And they have about 95 commercial breaks.
And it's probably edited a lot because it's very violent.
Yeah.
It is one of the most unnecessary graphic movies. And I play violent video games all the time. I have no problem with that.
Still shocking to
it's
watch.
The only thing that gets my blood pumping. But it is still, this was the only thing of like, oh my God, this is excessive. And I have seen Pornhub random category. You ever type random into Pornhub? The amount of squibs that are in this movie.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Blood packs and
it's
then,
it got an X rating, I found, 8 times
really?
Before they could put it to an R rating. The
wow. MPAA,
yeah. They wanted them to cut the glitch scene. Do you know what scene I'm talking about? Where that
scene.
Huge like machine gun robot just destroys that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The toy that
essential.
Can't do stairs.
Yeah, that can't do stairs, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that scene, Paul Verhoeven, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, the director, thought that scene was like really funny. And so he wanted to keep it in because he thought it was just like a laugh riot. Because there's like a whole, it is very funny, I will say. The guy gets destroyed and then I think the initial reaction, somebody runs over and he's like, can we get a goddamn medic in here? Which is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, so for people who have not seen the movie, which why are you listening to this?
Yeah,
spoiler alert.
Yes, they're at Big Corp dot unnamed General Corp. They bring out their new sophisticated police robot. And it murders a man on the first try.
Yeah, it
like
errors
so hard.
Yeah.
It doesn't just like oh whoopsie, it slipped. It crucifies him with bullets.
Yeah, it shoots nothing else. It only shoots him a bunch of times.
A bunch, and then the recovery time for one people go yes go. Someone get a medic in here, mind you. He's been shot without exaggeration 600,000 times.
Yeah, it's true.
His body is unrecognizable. It's the kind of bullet where I guess it rips his clothes off.
Yeah, it like explodes. The squid
it
like
explodes.
Now, granted, RoboCop did survive a similar shooting from the village
right.
people.
Hey,
with
good
shotguns.
Point. That's true. Yeah, shotgun
a robot. But he's got all that.
That was before he was a robot.
Oh, yeah.
He survived, right,
that.
And then
he's
they got
that,
to...
I would like to speak on that science before we get into the robot.
Yeah, sure, go ahead. I did have to research if people could survive being shot in the head, because he does get shot directly in the face, but people survive it. There are people.
Yeah. And then he's Murphy, who is does become RoboCop, chases the bad guys to a warehouse, where he is then shot no less than 500,006 times.
Yeah, at close range with shotguns.
Point blank. Range bullets that explode in his body, and he's still standing and like getting his footing, like he's trying boogie boarding for the first time.
Yeah,
and yelling, and then he gets shot in the head, and it gets worse because then we see everything from his POV. He's like a little bit woozy, but we're seeing him go through into an ambulance. We're seeing him go into the hospital, and his vision's like maybe a little bit blurry.
Yeah,
like if someone had like a piece of sand in their contact.
Yeah, yeah, he comes to. And
But he's awake for the whole thing. Mind you, he's been shot point blank in the head.
Yeah.
I will never go to new or old Detroit for anything else but the healthcare there.
Yes.
They put them back together.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if they had real health care, like actually better health care in Detroit that you might know of, but I guess that's just that's for the movie.
Yeah, you know, you have to weigh the balance of getting shot 500 times. But.
Yeah, what are the bullets in Detroit? Are they using the metal from old cars that's just like Civil War
they
bullets?
They have plenty of old cars, though, so maybe.
Yeah. Well, wait, what did you think of the film? Did you first see it when it came out a long time ago?
I mean, it came out the same year I was born, so...
Oh, okay.
I know I've seen it. Mm-hmm. There were scenes, like you said, that kind of jogged my memory. The guy getting hit by the car and exploded towards the end.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely remember toxic that. Waste
Probably
guy.
Lots of nightmares after that. But
that was so funny.
Yeah, it was a good laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we all I think had the same like
X-rated.
Reaction.
X-rated. Not meant to be a laugh riot.
No.
Not meant
no.
to play at your birth, but it was.
He kind of tried to do a Tarantino, but pre-Tarantino thing, I think, where it was like very gory, very violent, but with like a comedic
sensibility.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so like Tarantino saw this and was like, okay, so not like that.
Right.
And then found his voice after seeing this.
If it wasn't for this, though, no Pulp Fiction.
A quick Google search will bring up RoboCop versus Terminator. How close are those movies in years?
I saw something about that. I don't know how close it is, but I know that everyone's been asking for it for a long time. I have no new information.
Jamie, can you pull that up? Just Joe Rogan's podcast guy, Jamie, just goes to every podcast. Jamie, pull that up. This is sick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we call Brett tons of names, so he'll just do it whatever you want. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. I do think that would be hilarious. Or at least just fun to watch. It's so funny because the way you guys describe RoboCop is the same way that I felt about it, where I was like, oh, I've definitely seen this. I'm mm-hmm. sure I'll remember most of it, whatever. And then not the case. Just the onset of the movie, I was like, oh, I don't remember any of this stuff.
No.
I don't remember that it starts with like TV. There's like, yeah. and kind of like Starship Troopers, which he also directed, there's these like inserts of television that have like very little to do with the movie, in my opinion. There's like commercials
yeah.
for a board game called Nukem. And just like, it feels
it is very weird. If you ever took Theraflu and then tried to watch a movie before it kicks in and you're like falling asleep. Yeah, I've never seen it in order. And in order, it makes even less sense.
Yeah, exactly.
It's insane.
They
TV is just this yeah. movie. TV is this movie and Ray Liotta doing Chantix yeah. commercials.
They casually mention how a satellite took out like two
yeah.
former presidents.
And
yeah,
then they
exactly.
just like
casual.
They gloss
casual.
Over this. So it's the movie opens with a lot of exposition with the two news people.
Yes.
Which, by the way, the guy cannot stop smiling about this terrible move.
Yeah, yeah. And they mention a few times like wars that are going on
yeah.
in South America or something. It has nothing to do with anything that's going on.
Well, and U.S. is working with Mexico.
Right?
Okay.
And then to your point, later in the act, they start the news off with, hey, some rogue satellites not only murdered a bunch of people in Santa Barbara for some reason,
yeah.
but also took out two former ex-presidents. They don't show a photo of the president.
No, they show their body, I think.
They show a body that they may or may not be them. Might be a guy in just Asics that's on
yeah.
the ground.
Yeah.
And then the cop goes, huh, all right, in other news, those cops are striking. Like, how
right.
is that not the only story?
I don't know. And then the other, at the end of the news story, they just show their eyes. They just zoom into both of the reporters' eyes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It just takes over like all, like nine screens.
I thought I was the only one that saw that. I was like, I'm not going to bring that up because that just means like my dementia's kicking in. I don't want to call that out. But I'm so glad that I don't have early onset.
No, it was
dementia.
One of those moments. And there were a lot of them in the film where I just shot up like, what? What was that? What's the point?
Insane.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Insane.
Very weird.
And like a cop strike. Like that's the next story. Moving yeah. on.
Moving on. Cops are thinking of not working. Okay. So I had some other just like random things about the film. Like pretty early on, he escapes RoboCop. Which I found completely ridiculous. There was like no real explanation except that he was having a dream. He's having some like dream about his life where he's realizing who he is.
He's becoming more sentient.
Yeah.
He's becoming more human.
Yes.
So he's having these flashbacks. And one of the flashbacks is one of the weirdest acting choices a woman has ever made. And I'm sure it's because it was the 80s and they were doing cocaine and treating her terrible. So she's sitting on the bed and it's supposed to be this big reversal, which they teach in a lot of scam acting classes out here, where she goes, I really need to talk to you. Like she's mad, right?
Right, right.
But later on, the big payoff, this scene plays again and she goes, I really need to talk to you. I love you, which is insane.
Yeah, it is insane.
If anyone said that to me, if my girlfriend, who is sitting silently in the studio right now, said that to me, I would be like, you're cheating on me. What's going on?
You're a psycho.
Empty your pockets. There's pills. There's
yeah.
pills all over your pockets. You're crushed up.
You're recording this? Very, very strange choice. We also, by the way, never learned her name.
No.
Or like what their relationship was like.
Some of the
Maybe
worst
the
female
one?
Characters
yeah.
in this movie. I know we're jumping around a lot, but
That's
then there's
okay.
a female cop
yep.
who is written so terrible. They made her run jarringly terrible. She's like, she's making fun of a woman in the 80s running in a movie.
Yeah.
And this whole thing, he becomes RoboCop and everything, almost the inciting incident of when everything goes to shit is because she looks at the henchman's dick thing. I don't know what's a better way to say it on this thing.
Dick thing. I think that's correct.
So they go, Murphy and the terribly written woman cop, who I won't justify with the name because
I don't even know her
terribly
name.
Written woman cop. They chase the bad guys down to a warehouse. There's 80 of them.
Yep.
And there's no backup coming. So nope. I better go in.
Yeah.
The woman cop discovers a henchman who, by the way, is peeing upstairs.
Yeah, yeah. I thought
we've
that
all
was,
peed
I thought that
where
was
we shouldn't
immediately.
Pee, right?
Yeah.
Pee is water, there's and gravity is pee. Gravity.
Yeah.
Pee goes down.
Yeah.
So he's
also
peeing.
Pee outside.
Pee outside.
You're living in this
it's
little.
It's Detroit. I'm from Detroit.
Oh,
and
I didn't know that.
It is mostly pee on the street. Do that. That's
why
fine
pee in
there.
The place where you're hanging?
So they. So he's peeing up a spiral staircase, which I've never seen in my life. She goes up there, and you know how women be. They're so distracted by that dick. If they just get a chance to look at it, women cannot wait to see dicks.
And it was a patient. She had time. Yeah. Uh-huh. She chose.
Yeah. She has him and she goes, freeze. But he's got that dinghy out. Mm-hmm. And we all know that women are dying. Yeah. If you're on the fence about whether you should show a woman your dick, go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the greatest hello. So she looks down for a second and then is easily overpowered.
Yes, very fast.
Like her bones are made of rice cakes. She's
what
overpowered.
Punch? She fell off the edge.
Didn't she? And what did she fall onto?
Boxes.
Yeah,
a bunch
I don't
of dusty
know.
Blankets.
Yeah, and
a bunch
she was
of,
fine.
You know when you clean the lint out of the dryer because
it's
you're like
just
a good
all
neighbor?
That.
It's just all that.
By the way, that should have been police training day one. Is like if a burglar has his wang out and his hands up and he tells you like, hey. Should I zip this up? Or just like look down at my dick.
Right.
Don't look down.
Don't
do it.
Don't do it.
Dick. It's
you,
a trap.
After you handcuff him, perfect time to zip up
Ethan,
his pants.
You're forgetting she's a woman. It's irresistible
you're right.
to women.
It's innate. It's
the
in her
shape
nature.
Of a flaccid penis over a pair of camo cargo pants is so arousing.
Yeah.
To
also,
a
by
woman.
The way, could have backed up and looked. But she was right there in front of him, giving him, like, perfect range to wreck her.
Absolutely.
There's some obsession with, like, penises in this movie.
Oh, yeah,
the guy
sure.
gets shot in the penis.
Yeah,
that scene.
Which was an on-set decision, by the way, from the director.
You went into this?
I read
you
about it.
You did more research than the actual director of what rapists are like? The rapists make a pretty
bold
choice.
It was supposed to be kind of a more common, like... He, like, RoboCop has really precise aim, and so he shoots, like, right by her face, and it, like, skims the bad guy in the face. But then on the set, the director was like, you know, I'm noticing that her legs are open a little bit, which might give him just enough space to shoot that guy through her dress into his dick.
Oh, my God.
And that's what they went with.
Can you speak a little bit about that, about the robotics of how accurate you could get from that far away?
I don't think accuracy really counts when you're aiming for a penis.
Yeah, but to shoot through a woman's legs, or her, what's it called? What's that space called that everyone wants?
Everyone wants?
Thigh gap.
Oh,
yes. A woman's thigh gap, yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a good question, like, can these, because I'm looking here at this robotic hand, mm-hmm. and you say they have all these different shapes that
grips.
They can make,
yep.
grips they can mm-hmm. make, and it's kind of open source, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So, do people use these for, like, hunting? Is that legal?
Yes. There are some laws in certain states where, you know, that's prohibited, but a lot of times for amputees, they would probably use a prosthetic hand to stabilize the gun,
mm-hmm.
and then their sound side to pull the trigger.
Oh, even if it's not their dominant hand?
Yeah, even if it's not their dominant hand. You can program the hand to pull the trigger,
whoa.
But there might be other, you know, muscles that fire during the same time that could cause it to pull accidentally.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to be scared of. So,
how much program would it take to, one, not only hit a moving target of someone that's making an insane acting choice as a rapist to go, hey, we're going to do you. Yeah. They cut her ponytail off for some reason. What would it take to, yes, this is a moving target, and then just shoot through that small of a space? How far are we from that programming now?
Yeah.
How close is robotics?
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
Yeah,
now.
Okay. I would say probably pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Score one for RoboCop because they did say yeah. not so distant future.
Yeah,
that's true. Set in.
Yeah.
And score one for most states being cool with robots shooting guns at animals. That's awesome.
I am cool with it personally.
Okay.
I think to take the human element out of it.
Oh, you think
would
that's
be
better?
Great? Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
To take the bias out of it.
Yeah.
But what if you're, let's say you're going on a hunting trip, as I'm sure you do all
yeah.
the time with
uh-huh.
your buds, and while you're out hunting, one of your buddies say like, oh, by the way, I had my hand amputated, so I'm going to be shooting with this robotic hand. How does that make you
yes,
feel?
Yes, I know my friends, and I would trust robotics over them any day.
Okay.
Anytime a human would intervene, it is insane to me that not every car is self-driving. The fact that we're just out there winging it,
yeah, it's really
and
crazy.
Bringing emotion and like, I hope he calls me back is like on the road next to you and could T-bone your wife and your kids is
yeah.
insane to me. And
yeah.
the fact that we're not putting all the money into that and abandoning just because a few people want, like, I like the feeling of driving. I love driving,
sure,
more than anything.
Yeah.
I
More
actually
than anything?
Enjoy it. More than sex or breathing.
Wow. Anything at all.
What people don't know is I am rock hard in the car.
Anytime you're driving.
When I dropped the car off of the valet to record this, I had to
yeah.
sit for a minute because I was rock hard.
You had to let that go down?
Yeah.
You had to really think about something else.
How do you feel about it? About
self-driving
cars.
Yeah, I think it would be great. I was actually going to bring this up. There's, like I said, certain laws in states that you can't drive if you have a prosthetic leg and
oh,
if
really?
You have a prosthetic arm.
Wow.
So that would give a lot of independence to people.
So
who
wait,
are
certain
amputees.
States? So most states you're saying it's
certain
okay?
states.
Okay.
Certain states. I don't know about California.
Mm.
But I know there are states out there that if you have any kind of prosthetic device that you're not supposed to be driving.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
A lot of people just pop off their leg and drive with the other foot.
Right, right.
Is that the loophole? That if it's
mm-hmm.
like as long as you don't have the prosthetic
exactly.
on?
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you're not a whole person.
Right.
If you remind you of what you are.
Yeah, what?
That is insane.
That's so
yeah.
dumb.
That is so because there's 16-year-olds that are doing vape clouds.
Yeah, and texting
in their
Jeep, and drunk.
Texting, right, with augmented reality.
Yeah, yeah. But Miss
yeah.
Mabel down the street with the prosthetic leg has to take
yeah,
it off
she has
drive.
To take
yeah.
it off. God, what a pain in the ass,
yeah.
probably.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Let me see what else we have.
RoboCop, by the way, does not drive a robocar. He drives just a regular, terrible.
That's why I was bringing up
They
his...
couldn't get the rights to a Crown Vic. They got a Celica in there. They got like a Toyota Celica that has seen way better days.
I was wondering about that immediately because as soon as he breaks out, he gets to the car. He just
uh-huh.
somebody throws keys, he catches them, which I read took 50 takes, by the way.
To
50
throw it?
Takes. No, of him to catch it because his thing was like made of rubber. Or something, so he couldn't catch the fucking
oh.
keys. So it took 50 takes. He gets into the car, but they don't show him getting into the car. He's just driving the car.
No, because the suit doesn't bend.
Because
find
he
out
doesn't
in
fit.
Most action sequences with this movie, that
right.
suit is not a mover.
He has to, yeah. And so, anyways, while he's in the car, he's not wearing the bottom part of the suit. So if you're rewatching RoboCop after this podcast, just
he's
know
he's wearing some JNCO jeans.
He's in underwear anytime he's in the car. Which
insane.
Is very funny. And also, because of what you said, he had to study ballet. Wait, no, it wasn't ballet. It was a mime. He had to study how to be a mime from this Juilliard teacher for 2 months
okay.
before doing the RoboCop stuff.
Wow.
And then the suit was so late. It was delayed and redesigned so many times that it was like, okay, the day of the shoot, here's the suit. Mm. Get into the suit. It takes 11 hours for him to get into the suit. And then he can't move in the suit. So the 2 months of mime training was absolutely for
nothing.
Yeah.
Because you'll notice, I don't know if he was doing the mime school on set in real time. Because there's moments where he's moving just like a guy in a clunky suit.
Yep.
And then almost mid-action scene, he's like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be a robot. And then he'll go into like someone doing an impression of the robot hands.
Right, yeah.
In just the middle of the scene. Like, stop shooting for a second. Beep, bop, beep, bop, tort.
Ugh, so good. There's just got to be so many fun stories about shooting this. It looks so ridiculous to me. Okay, also, I just want you to know that recently, I think in 2012, it got started, that they wanted to make a RoboCop statue in your hometown
in
of
Detroit.
Do you know about this?
I'm from Kalamazoo, Michigan, but Detroit was the closest city, besides actually Chicago being
got
closer
you.
Than...
But you have a lot of pride with Kid Rock.
Yeah, I'm
Eminem.
Very familiar with Detroit.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, they want to put the statue there, and they made a Kickstarter, and it was successful. And so now there's like a 12-foot statue in production, from what I've read.
Wow. More mobile than the actual suit is this concrete mold.
How do you feel about that?
Like,
yeah, because I immediately was like, I don't know if it was my city that I would want something, symbolic from this film.
Right. I think at this point, anyone that just, if we can get anyone to Detroit, that would be great.
For any reason.
For just any reason. The amount of, it's a lot better in the last 5 years, but if you went there in 2008, full on ghost town. So if there's like four RoboCop fans or people that have been coming down from Theraflu that want to make sure that this is a real thing and just fly to Detroit to see it, like, oh, yeah, okay, checks out, then I'm all for it.
Great.
There's not a lot you could do to Detroit to be like, oh, you ruined it.
Now it's
the
bad.
Iconic skyline.
It actually shot in Detroit?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No. It was going to be shot in Detroit, but then they realized that the skyline wasn't like futuristic enough or something, so they went to Dallas. And that there was a bunch of problems involved with that because Dallas is like 100 degree heat. This guy's in this suit.
Oh, man.
Was like losing pounds a day being in the suit. Okay. I also just wanted to mention very quickly that in 2014, there was a... Oh, see you later, Brett.
Why Brett's winding out, I'm seeing this... there's a still of RoboCop up on the screen. And this is from the scene we're talking about where they test the future robot and it murders this guy with bullets.
Yep.
The science seemed off that he would be shot, be still standing, and then be able to jump up onto a table.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They have a scale model of the future city they hope to build.
Yeah.
So he's already been shot no less than 40 times.
Yeah.
And then he still leaps up a good 2 feet to fall back on this. Is there any bullet or any projectile that we know?
Maybe there's something that would launch you back. I don't know about something that would make you jump. Is that something that you've encountered, like a nervous system reaction?
Never.
Got it.
Never.
It was just a choice they wanted, and they're like, ooh, he's really far away from this thing. Do it anyways. It'll look fine. And
we only have one shot at this.
And it didn't. And then later we see this robot, and then it's he's chasing RoboCop. This is the evil robot.
And I think it's called
RoboCop foils this evil robot by going down a couple of stairs.
Yes, a normal
and the robot
flight.
Like a cat into a pool is dipping its foot and is like, ooh, maybe no. Takes one step and then stares. I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, if you're grading robotics, before you teach it to shoot a gun, you would probably teach it about different levels of gravity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And actually, teaching a patient how to do stairs is a big part with the training for prosthetic knees, because there are some knees that will buckle going downstairs. Mm. And there's only a handful of knees that will actually allow a patient to go up the stairs.
Wow.
Okay.
Step over step. So,
damn.
I've had patients who've fallen going downstairs incorrectly. So, yeah, it is something that you should teach to your patients.
And to your robots.
It would be kind of early on.
Yes.
In the stage, because not a lot of the world is flat.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
absolutely.
If you're working at the science of robotics, you're like, hey, this gets curvy at parts. That you would be early on before you would be, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What?
Score one us. Because RoboCop got the first point.
Yeah, check.
I was going to ask what got you into prosthetics in this line of work?
I had a relative who lost his leg when I was in high school. And I met the prosthetist who actually made his prosthetic legs. And talking to him, and that just kind of piqued my interest. And
how old were you at this time?
14, 15,
that.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then ever since then, I always wanted to do kind of like the engineering side of it. Did engineering in undergrad and was volunteering at a hospital and kind of got into the patient side of it and kind of went that route afterwards.
Great.
How far off do you think we are from a RoboCop, a half bio-human, at least has the brain of a human, enough to have nightmares of terrible acting, but then have almost 80% robotic body with maybe...
Like just the torso part?
Yeah, the torso, but you have all the organs in the brain.
I would say we're quite a ways away.
Okay.
I know there's a lot of research out of MIT working to do prosthetics that are controlled by nerves and senses and a brain control type of prosthetic. But it's not something that's available for purchase now. It's still strictly research, but there's we're getting there. Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
And is there certain ethics laws around who could control it? Because right now, Evil Corp in RoboCop technically controls his mind. Do you think there would be certain legislation that would be in place to be like, oh, the person that possesses the biochemistry needs to have 100% control?
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of the advanced prosthetics do work off of Bluetooth. So if somebody is mean enough, they can connect to somebody's limb. And
Alexa, and make it fall down the stairs.
No.
So,
Alexa legs.
Yeah, I know pranks.
Companies are trying to work their ways around that. But that has been an issue before. If you have, you know, at conferences, we have, you know, a room full of amputees all wearing the same devices, and you open up your Bluetooth and
really?
100 oh different God.
It's like Jeff's leg and you can connect to that.
It's like, oh, let me just change this from boom. Yeah, so that's something I know.
That seems like such an annoying I don't know, I just like instinctually already feel bad that someone, you know, has a prosthetic. I want everything to be so easy for them. Mm-hmm. And then when they encounter these types of problems, I'm just like, oh God, why not? We have a better system than Bluetooth. Yeah. But like everything is Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Are there any prosthetics that are, it's already naive to ask, but in the future, do you think in the next 20 years there'll be prosthetics that are better than the human body, better than the bio stuff that we're creating? When's it going to stop being in Nike commercials that someone with a prosthetic ran?
Right.
Going to be like, well, cheater.
Yeah.
When are we at that point?
There was a lot of debate with Oscar Pistorius when he was running in the Olympics and whether it was mechanically advantageous for him to wear prosthetics. So it's kind of like borderline right now.
Okay.
I think companies, if they really wanted to, could make a hand that could squeeze harder than the human hand and things like that. But they don't make it available for public because it's not really needed, but the technology is there to do it, I would say.
Gotcha. To make it better than what we are.
Yeah, as far as the strength and things like that. But, you know, with strength comes added weight, and as an amputee, you have a shorter lever arm, so things are, you know, you have the heaviest part of the prosthetic at the very end, so you can have, you know, you don't want your prosthesis slipping off and things like that. So there's a lot that goes into it. But yeah, I don't think they're going to give people prosthetic hands so they can choke somebody out like RoboCop did.
So if we made a RoboCop now, it would be worse than a cop that's like an overweight. He's got like high cholesterol.
We're still at worst.
He's got gout. The best robotics would be worse than our worst cop?
No, I think it would be better. You know, there are, you know, patients who have, you know, severe deformities, a club foot or something like that, where it's almost better to amputate because they would be more functional with the prosthesis than they would with the deformed foot.
Okay.
Crazy.
So, yeah, we're at the point where patients can make that decision whether it's right for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm all in. Are you even? Yeah. I'm all in of like totally. The second it gets good enough, I have no attachment to my legs.
Oh my God. I have problems with my hands like you have no idea all the time. I would much rather give me the robotic
And this is
thing.
Like, not to be naive and like, because I'm sure there's people like, you fucking asshole. You don't know
big time.
What you would have. This, I'm saying like 30 years in the future.
Yeah. Of course.
Hopefully 20 where it is better.
Yeah,
than,
I'm
than
very happy with all my limbs.
Created.
Don't get me wrong. I think our bodies are a miracle,
very
et cetera,
grateful
et cetera.
For that.
Very grateful. Got to say that. Right. However, you show me.
don't put me on blast here.
Yeah. We don't need any tweets.
But it is like when the technology is better than what we have, then absolutely I'm ready to abandon everything.
Yeah. I will do the entire Android switch. Is that if that's an option?
Yeah,
that's good for my field.
I have a lot of other questions. I also have a game coming up, which is mostly for you. But before that, we got to take a quick break.
Yeah,
we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars, and there's a new docuspecial on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast, Good One, a show about jokes. Follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
The Breaker. is over. Here we go back to the show about science.
Okay, Moses is going to try on this prosthetic right now.
Mind you, there's a bunch of loose wires and water on the table.
Yep, it looks very dangerous, and I'm glad I'm not doing it.
I'm all for it. I am ready.
No, it looks very cool.
I'm ready to get. I hate my wrists. Getting prosthetics because I hate my wrists. My wrists are so chubby. Anyway, the amputee is like, you asshole.
You fucking
have no
piece
idea
of shit.
What you have.
Yeah.
Oh, that's insane.
So.
What?
Probably need a little bit tired, but you kind of get the point.
Do you want to include a picture of this in the show notes?
Yeah. We'll put it on Instagram. We have an official photographer here,
oh, there
so
you go.
Right. This is perfect.
Jeez.
Jamie, this is wild. Jamie, pull this up. What I'm doing already?
There we go.
Oh,
there we go.
Here we go.
Oh,
there
we go.
Very cool.
So, crazy.
What are these? What is the hand made of? Like, are there alloys involved here?
Yeah, there's alloys. There's metals, titanium. They use like a special type of wire. Yeah.
Okay. Special type of wire.
I know in the movie they mentioned titanium and Kevlar.
Oh, did they?
Oh, that he was made of?
Yeah, but usually we use
titanium and Kevlar.
Carbon fiber is our main thing, but titanium is used a lot of times in the field. Yeah.
Okay.
Had anyone thought to shoot RoboCop in the mouth area? The one exposed. Also, why do we need to see his lips?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not like he's dishing out.
He had to eat the baby food.
He had to eat the baby food.
But his upper part was also okay, because when he took it off later, like, we could have seen his whole face the whole movie. No.
You're right. That would have been way cooler if it was just his like bald head in that thing than that stupid stupid little visor he had.
Yeah, the Cyclops looking X-Men.
Oh, and then what you brought up about the baby food. So in the initial, when they're doing the walkthrough of the robot, they're like, we got him goop that just feeds
looks
his,
so gross.
His bio parts, right?
Yeah.
It's a paste, and all the scientists worked on it. The one guy tries it, the other bad guy at Evil Corp, and he goes, it tastes like baby food, right?
Yeah.
And then later, the terribly wooden women cop just brings him actual baby food.
Right.
So the scientists were just lying. They were like, oh, yeah, we were working all night on some bio goop. And they just
Maybe she just overheard, I guess, at some point that it tastes like baby food. She's like, yeah, it's the same.
It's the same thing. We're cutting out of your parts. Now he's all rusted. He's about to do the fight of his life.
You know, here's takes some baby food, and he's like, and he didn't have the heart to tell her, so he was just telling her like, oh, I'm not hungry. But in his head, he's like, that's not gonna actually
feed
me.
That's
violent
offensive.
That's not what I need. Yeah. Okay, how about we try this game? Then I have a few more questions.
Sure.
But obviously, thank you for bringing all of this. Mm-hmm. This is fantastic. Do you want to remain hooked up, or do you want to unhook your?
I think I'm good.
Your Nike heroin.
Cool. Yeah, good.
Right, Nike Fit heroin.
So I'm calling this game. What's new in the Robo Shop?
What's new in the Robo Shop? What's new in the Robo Shop?
Shop. So I have a list of things that may or may not exist that are names of bionic, you get it, limbs, whatever.
All right.
And so you'll tell me if it's an actual limb, and then you'll confirm.
Sure.
Okay, so I have to guess. You're making an idiot guess if these are real things in robotics.
Right.
Or if they are just words you made up last
That's correct.
Night, giggling to yourself.
This morning.
Eating baby food.
Yeah, eating
giggling,
baby
food. Oh, I'll put that idiot on blast with this word. Got it.
Yeah. The whole podcast was actually created to get to this point where I have
Got
you
it.
On the show and I could embarrass you. After this, by the way, we're done. This is the last episode. I've accomplished my goal. Okay, the first one is called the Luke Arm.
Luke arm. Yeah. That's fake because you're trying to make Star Wars references. You got lazy.
Luke, I am your father. That is correct.
That's correct.
A real arm.
It is a real thing.
Yes.
The Luke Skywalker. It is based on that though.
Okay.
It was made by Dean Kamen or.
Dean Kane. Wow.
It was made by Dean Kane and
Superman and Scott Peterson. Reenactor player Dean Kane.
He invented him with the DECA, D-E-K-A, yep. Research Development Corporation. You probably know so much more about this than I do. The arm works via a combination of electrodes, movement, and switches where an onboard processor translates them into hand movements, which I guess is similar to what's going on here.
Absolutely.
No?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. Okay, so I'm an idiot one.
So far, we all
so
win.
So far, I'm an idiot.
Undefeated.
All right, how about Terminator arm?
That one's fake because the first one was real, and just by...
That's fake.
Yeah?
This one is real. It what? Is made really? By B Bionic. It's one of the most advanced bionic arms. I will give you, however, that Terminator arm is the, like, slang name for it. They have a different name for it, but it's, like...
Right, because
known like, as the Terminator arm, because it looks
an investor,
like
I would not give money to like, the Terminator arm. Like,
yeah, no.
Cool.
I think they made it first, and then they realized, like, oh, everyone's just going to call this the Terminator arm because it looks just like it. So that one, half idiot.
Okay. You're really taking to calling me an idiot fast.
I mean, you proposed
it. I brought it on myself. That's the name of this game.
I'm going to change, the name of the game. Robo Elbow.
That sounds fake. I mean, it's almost not specific enough to be a thing. It's like what I would call all the stuff you brought. I almost called your stuff junk.
That's junk. What I would call your junk here.
The robo arm, like if you're searching for the right B.Znet word,
and then
you said robo elbow, so I'm going to go fake.
I'm going to go fake as well.
This one is fake.
Okay. Yeah.
Very nicely done.
A little less of an idiot.
Tiny, tiny percentage less.
Tiny idiot.
It's almost unnoticeable how much less of an idiot. Okay, eye limb.
An eye limb. Does that even make sense? Because an eye is an organ.
Well, the letter I. I live.
Oh, yes. Then that's a real thing.
Okay.
And it plays, you put your iPod into it that no one has anymore. And it's always at a Ross Dress for Less next to a Revlon shaver and a dog bed.
I would be very disappointed if you got this wrong because this is an island.
Oh, we're using an island right here.
It real.
Wow. It real. It was the world's first commercially available bionic hand released in 2007.
So that name of that game was Moses Can Read. There's a neon thing that is
just wanted to test.
Right on it.
We were testing how much of an idiot you were. I figured if you can't read, that would be a huge.
It is the only neon thing in this room.
That's true. Okay, the power knee.
Power knee.
Yeah.
Also fake because it's not specific enough.
Okay.
That is real.
That is real.
Power knee.
It is
power
made knee. By Oser. Is that how you say that?
Yep.
Okay. It was introducing the first mind-controlled bionic prosthetic for lower limbs for amputees. Does that make sense, what I just said?
It was, when it came out, it was like the only prosthetic knee that would actively like kick out and move as opposed to like the patient having to do it. So it actually has power built into it.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And it says, go.
Oh, yeah. So could this knee do stairs?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Maybe. Okay. I would imagine this knee, from how they were talking it, I would be surprised if it didn't do stairs. Yeah. It also says that it...
yes, from how they were talking it.
From they were talking it up.
You dumb idiot. I caught you.
Every podcast.
It took an hour and 37 minutes, but I caught you.
Every podcast gets to some point where someone calls me an idiot.
It's just a got-you podcast.
Really, you know what's even worse is that even if I said it correctly, it's still such a stupid thing to say. That,
right.
Like, by the look
they
of their website...
They talking at you, idiot. Guys, I want you to go skip back 15 seconds and play that part again.
Yeah.
I know it could go downstairs. I just don't know about upstairs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. So maybe they're the idiots.
Yeah, they're a huge difference.
No, they're great, and all their work they're doing is very beneficial for the humankind. The humankind? Okay, here we go. It says that their technology adapts to the user's subconscious. Can you comment on that?
I've seen it in person. I've fit it before.
Okay.
It does have power, but, you know, they probably talk it up a little bit more.
Okay. A little bit of a bold claim.
Yeah.
From Oser.
Yes.
On that one, if I'm saying that right. The gate plate.
Gate plate. That's got a ring to it. I would throw some money into that.
Okay.
If I was on a Shark Tank panel, I'd be like, gate plate. That rings off the dime.
But I don't know what it says, but I like it.
I think it's... fake because no one would be an amputee, but one of the most traumatic things you can go through losing a thing and be like, oh, I want a gate on my body. You know, my body's missing a gate. So I'm going to say fake.
Gate plates are used in like gate labs to test somebody's walking speed and all that.
Oh.
But an actual device that's called a gate plate, I don't know about that.
No, so okay. It's not something that goes on the body.
No.
Okay, both correct.
Okay.
I made that up, and also just coincidental, I didn't know it had anything to do with being able to walk.
But I want to TM this right now.
Yep.
Gateplay, do not invest in this. This is mine.
Whoa. I came up with Gateplay. You just stole Gateplay from me.
It took this room to really connect the synapses of what this idea was. And Gateplay is mine.
Well, let's talk percentages
for
a second.
Hey, Fortnite already stole that. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a new dance. It's Gateplay.
All right.
Replace the Carlton.
The proprio foot.
Proprio foot?
Mm-hmm.
Prosthetic pro... That's real.
Yep. Proprio, short for proprioception, that is real.
What is proprioception?
Just connecting the body with, you know, the atmosphere around you. So
proprioception?
Oh, I just
saying that all the time.
I was just asking for Can you give us context? Give us an example of when you
Oh my God. If you don't stop talking and running your mouth, I'm going to proprioception my feet all over this club.
No, that checks out. That was legit.
Yeah.
That makes
what
a lot of sense.
What are you even talking up?
Where is this person from? All right.
Yeah, so with prosthetics, anytime you connect like a socket or anything that connects with the body on the limb, they lose that sensation, that feedback. So this device is meant to give that patient more sensation. With the ground.
Thank you, Moses.
Yeah, thank you.
It's also by Oser, and it's got a powered ankle. It's got intelligent terrain adaption. The foot allows users to have a natural walking and standing stance. So buy it now.
Very cool. Terrain adaption. Ooh, it's a little icy out. And gets a little grips. That's cool.
Maybe. I don't want to make that claim, but
ooh,
it's possible.
Hot sand. And it's just wheels.
Hot sand. It just tiptoes as if it's can't stand it.
Why did the robot need to tiptoe?
Because it's being more human. It's being more human.
No, you did these
trying to fit in.
No one would see your legs.
Everybody.
Never mind. It's not the color that we are.
Okay. There's the Bio-M.
Bio-M?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that it's fake because you were like rushing out the door and you're like, I need one more to make it 10. And
okay.
Then you said Bio-M.
It is the second to last one, I'll have you know. There is one more, but Bio-M.
The Bio-M or the biome is real.
Oh, okay. Yep. Didn't know it was called biome. Yep.
And what is the biome?
It is...
Oh, so that's the correct thing. So Bio-M is not
is
a real
fake.
Thing.
So a half point. There you go. It's probably the strongest foot on the market right now. It has active plantar flexion. Plantar flexion is when you push your foot down like a gas pedal. Dorsiflexion is when you lift your foot up. So this foot has the ability to lift your foot up and to help push it down. So if you're walking up a hill or something, instead of using your calf muscles, the foot would actually kind of propel you.
Cool.
So most, like the proprio and things like that, they have active dorsiflexion.
Mm-hmm.
So it will lift your foot up so you don't trip on objects. But this was the first one that had the active plantar flexion.
Nice. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys are interested in that, there's a TED Talk by the head of biomechatronics research group of MIT's research lab. His name is Hugh Herr.
Yeah, Hugh Herr.
Jamie.
He's a bilateral amputee himself.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I haven't watched a TED Talk. I was finding it this morning, but I heard that it's really great. And that's
speeding in your car, watching a TED Talk on your phone.
Yeah.
T-boning cars on your way.
Just left and right thinking, I don't need a self-driving car.
But that Uber hit one lady that was crossing a highway. Let's stop all the research.
There's a lady, I think it's a lady, who dances on that TED Talk with bionic legs.
Yeah.
Last one.
Yeah.
The Argus.
Argus. I feel like I've seen that on like old technology. So yeah, I think Argus slapped their name on something, someone else's research.
Okay.
Evil Argus, which is the RoboCop corporation.
Okay.
Is that real?
Oh man. I have not heard of that.
Okay.
So I'm gonna say fake.
Argus is real.
Real.
It is
a
retinal prosthesis.
Oh, okay.
And improves vision in people that are afflicted by retinitis pigmentosa.
So I'm smarter than Mr. Robotics over here. You come in here and you try to replace me with a robot. First thing he said is like, oh, you know, it would be better at this podcast if we had a robot.
Please open the hand so I can slap him with it.
It doesn't cure blindness, this thing, the Argus, but it is one step closer to restoring vision to the blind, which I thought was very cool. I had no idea that was even possible.
Cool. Yeah, I just do extremities, so I don't do eyes.
But, oh, okay, got you.
Yeah.
They also make bionic pancreases and hearts, which I thought was very cool.
Yep.
And I wanted to just mention this open source factor that we were briefly talking about when you came in.
Yes.
Because I didn't realize that that was possible either.
Oh, absolutely.
So how does that work?
So with iLim, they have a specific hand that will allow users to share different grips. You would be amazed by the number of grips that we need just for a daily basis, whether it's using a mouse or using chopsticks. There's a specific grip for using chopsticks that you can download from their software and add it to the hand. So there's people will go around and find different grips that they find useful and share it with other people who are amputees. And it's really neat. I don't know if it only iLim does it, but I know for sure that they do it.
That's great. Yeah. That's fascinating. And then I was also reading about machine learning a little bit, not a lot because I don't really know anything, but that robots are teaching themselves how to grip certain things or you know, flick things through their fingers and stuff like that. So do you think that will come? Whoa.
Flick things with it. I was watching what's doing. I'm going to be really annoying at a party. I'm programming myself to flick a toothpick through my fingies. Ew.
That's kind of what it was doing. It was weird. I saw a video of a robot and it kind of had this little cube and it was just like going,
oh my God.
You know, like Pirates of the Caribbean style.
Right. So this robot's an asshole.
I guess so. Yeah. That's what it wanted to learn, Moses. I don't know.
In the corner at a party. Like, hey, watch me play with this cube.
Where
cool,
are you from?
Man. Do you have a personality? No, it's just this cube.
Not yet. Is that something that you think is going to be, you know, combined with these programmed limbs?
Yeah. There's things out there right now. So if somebody was to wear an upper limb prosthetic device, if they're not sending a signal to the device, the hand will go into a natural resting position.
Okay.
So instead of walking around with a fist and people are like, who's this guy going to hit? It's kind of more open, kind of like a natural human walk.
Okay.
And with lower limb, when you sit down, some of the legs will recognize that you're sitting down and will kind of go into a relaxed position with the foot nicely on the floor and things like that. So that's similar.
Okay.
To machine learning, but it's just kind of, you know, a lot of people with amputations, they don't want to stand out. So this kind of helps them to appear more natural to the public.
They wouldn't want their feet to be programmed to be tiptoeing on a...
No, absolutely. Yeah, no, but some of the other legs, oddly enough, when they sit down, the limb would stay pointed straight with their knee extended, and then they have to kind of like push their leg down. So this allows them to where they can sit down, their limb doesn't pop up and kick some 3-year-old in the face.
Yeah, that's probably good.
$2 billion, I think, is what RoboCop cost to make. They think they quote that. They're going to have $1 billion, more like $2 billion. Do you think that's on point in 1987 dollars, which probably translates to, I don't know, $48,000 billion?
To make a whole person?
To make a whole person that was that sentient. Do you think if someone gave you $2 billion, which I don't... $1987 is probably closer to what, $4-6 billion?
$6 billion. Like,
yeah. I mean, if they could put a man in space for I don't know, less, what, $500,000 right now?
Right, yeah.
Then yeah, I think you can get
that checks out.
Yeah.
You can repair. Okay, score, so one, make RoboCop.
Score two, RoboCop.
Can I borrow $4 billion?
Yeah. Is it something that it does, like, wonders for the psyche to have just a prosthetic limb? Have you seen that in patients of it just that, because it can be so devastating when you lose something of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's, I don't know if we talked about it yet, but there's phantom limb sensation and phantom limb pain. So a lot of times when a patient is amputated, they'll experience phantom limb pain. So even though your limb isn't there, you still feel like it's burning or it's cramped for something that's no longer attached to your body.
It's a common thing.
Yeah. So there's mirror therapy sometimes that they'll use. So if you have an amputated arm, you'll kind of visualize your sound side and opening and closing this hand while looking at your amputated hand through the mirror helps with the psychological perception of having another arm.
Yeah.
A lot of times getting a prosthetic will also help with that connection too.
And what do you think is more important, because it is such a devastating loss and just a feeling of hopelessness, is the would you say the main goal for it is function, or do more patients want something that is more human? Because I feel like you can almost have one or the other with the way the research
It's definitely a huge balance. As a prosthetist, I'm all about function, but for my patients, I understand, you know, the fashion, the cosmetic side of it as well. Mm-hmm. So just working with the patient, and during the evaluation, we'll sit down and say, hey, you know, do you want something that is going to be really, really functional for a majority of the things that you do, but might be a little heavy, a little bulky, mm-hmm. or do you want something that, you know, matches what you look like, but, you know, is more like, you know, just kind of passive.
So it almost is one or the other. You can have something that looks...
Sometimes we have to make that difficult decision. Yeah. That
even the Michelangelo?
Choice.
The Michelangelo, yeah. I mean, it's... Some people might consider it, you know, when it moves, you can hear it. I mean, I've had patients who, you know, they would prefer a passive hand versus a myoelectric hand. Mm. Yeah.
I think I would. I know I talked a big game. Like, I want robot parts, but I think I would go for a more lifelike thing, because I think that's the biggest thing, is you don't want people staring at you on the street.
Yeah, that's true.
Or be like, what can you do with that? Can you open my can of beer? I'm sure they get so many annoying uncle jokes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, constantly. That's
you got a
tough
charge?
Choice,
can I charge my phone on that?
It is a tough choice. It is a tough
can I touch your electric skin?
It happens that yes.
Yeah.
Especially at the airport.
Really?
Because they're not... TSA isn't supposed to take off a patient's prosthetic or orthotic device unless there's somebody qualified there to put it back on.
Oh, okay.
So,
they,
you know...
They do it all the time?
I've heard of patients who've, you know, get pulled aside and they make them take it off, and it's really embarrassing and things like that.
Can we just all agree to make a law here and now to just let them keep their prosthetic limbs on no matter what? If they're driving, the TSA, what's the deal? Why make them take it off?
Yeah, well, score one for RoboCop, I did have a patient who kept a gun in his prosthesis.
Really? That's 3 points for RoboCop. We are getting schooled. I got 1 point.
Yeah.
So,
he's a tough competitor.
Yeah, whenever he would come in. I mean, he was a retired cop.
Okay.
I should say that.
Okay. More acceptable.
But...
But
you know,
he got a gun that
connected to his leg. Yeah.
Stash stuff in there. So I guess your airport plan really wouldn't work out.
No. Now actually you should take them off. Everyone should take your prosthetic limbs off. I don't trust any of you.
Also, a little last bit of science on that is unrelated to robotics. But one of the henchmen crashes into a toxic waste. turns into a monster, almost turns into like he starts performing like he's trying to get his own spin-off movie of like
he has
freak,
too much
like,
time
pig boy.
Yeah,
so he does this whole act of help me. And then he gets hit by a car and turns into juice. It's not like, oh, it's a bunch of pig parts, it's just juice
everywhere.
It
all
is
over the car.
Capri Sun.
And it's funny that he had the functionality, like he knew how to walk around still. And I guess you could see, but he didn't see those cars coming.
The car. And then his lead henchman is like, oh, what a freak. Better run him over.
Yeah, fuck this guy. Which killed him, basically.
Is there any chemical that we know that could keep you upright that long and turn your bones into juice? I mean, there's no more scientific way to put that.
No, you nailed it. That was great.
Maybe in the sequel. Maybe in the sequel.
Okay, but there's no
I didn't see those, by the way. Did you guys see any? Either RoboCop 2, 3, or they made a remake of RoboCop.
I watched some clips.
2014.
It was very boring in 2014. Also in 2014, heard nothing about RoboCop.
Same. I don't remember that at all.
I remember it came out, but yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, I remember. I couldn't tell you when or who anyone
probably
was talking
saw, like,
about
a trailer
it
or something before a movie, and I went like this. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then that's the only time I ever heard about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, under the radar.
Okay, anyways, as we're wrapping up, Moses, you have anything you'd like to plug? You have something in January coming up?
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be released. I'm going to be in Sunnyvale at Rooster Tea Comedy Club in Sunnyvale, California.
Great. And where can people find
10th.
You online?
Everything is at Moses Storm online. No one else wanted that.
Wow.
That's weird. I hate putting that out there because some people are going to try to buy these domains from me. I'll buy them.
All right. Fantastic. Anything you'd like to, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it's a good time. So there's an organization, local organization, that is preparing amputees and other athletes for the upcoming 2020 Olympics in LA and the Paralympics as well. They're called the Angel City Games. And they meet once a year, I believe in June-ish.
Okay.
But look them up online. They meet at UCLA, and they have lots of events, running events and clinics and wheelchair basketball and things like that. So it's a great opportunity to give back to amputees and to volunteer.
Yeah. Fantastic. Cool. Okay.
Very cool. Right.
Well, thank you guys so much. Hope you had fun. I had a great time.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay. See you next time.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bad Science is hosted and produced by me, Ethan Edinburgh. Our social media producers are Kate Baker and EJ Gullett, and the executive pro-bo-ducer is Brett Kushner. You can follow us on Instagram at Bad Science Show. We will be posting a clip of the arm that Moses was hooked up to, which was so much fun. And as always, feel free to send us an email at badscience@seeker.com. And please share the show. Tell a friend. Rate and review the show. All of that stuff helps, and we appreciate it a lot. Tune in next week where we will be talking about the movie Her. And I believe that's all. Until next time, see you later.